All right, it's one true podcast, NFL draft style. This is Bryce Cherry alongside John Werner, Mitch Blomert. Guys, Baylor has a chance to have a pretty good NFL draft class. I mean, let's start at the top with two potential first-round picks, Corey Coleman and Andrew Billings. What makes these two guys so attractive to NFL teams, and who do you think turns out to be the better pro?
Well, obviously, Andrew is, he might be the strongest guy in the draft.
Yeah.
We know he's the strongest guy in Texas.
And yeah, he's been that way for proved like that in years. High school yeah. when he was, you know, not even technically still yet a man, but he was a man.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, he's got the perfect body for a nose tackle.
Yeah.
Big, you know, strong, built low to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. Corey, I think he's kind of in the Kendall Wright mode.
Right.
You know, maybe just a little bit stronger than Kendall.
I mean,
when he catches a ball, that's when he really does his thing. He's really strong. He's just very hard to bring down. And as far as being the better pro, I'm going to say Andrew, just because you just don't see too many guys like him,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are that strong. And
that fast, too.
Yeah, he's fast, and he's just very hard to move. You know, he's a block of granite down there and just a tough guy.
None of us three sports writers are over 300 pounds, thank God. But we are, you know, fat. I mean, we're a bunch of sports writers, and yet we can't.
I am.
Well, you know, fat enough, and we can't go 4.9 in the 40. You know, I mean, but Andrew Billings can take 300 pounds that fast.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm sure he could beat any of us.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Whether we're fat or not, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, you know, but anyway.
I don't want the people out there to get the wrong impression.
Okay. Mitch, what do you think?
I think if you're running a 4.9, if you're fat, I think you can be kind of exempted from being called fat.
For sure.
I wouldn't call him fat to his face.
No, well, no.
I think, you know, kind of going off what John said, I mean, he's so strong and he's got that perfect combination of strength and speed. He's got that nose tackle size. He's not, you know, super tall. He's about 6'1", and he can still get low. Just exactly what you want out of your nose tackle. I think Corey Coleman is just, you know, such a good deep threat. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he's so good at you know, catching the deep pass. I think in terms of who's going to be the better pro, I think it will be Billings, because the NFL is so just concrete with what kind of players they want. They don't want project guys or experimental guys that are maybe not quite the mold of that position. And I feel like Billings is exactly what the NFL would want in a nose tackle, whereas Coleman's a little on the small end for a receiver.
Sure.
And so, you know, and he's coming out of, you know, Art's system where a lot of times he was just running a vert down the field and maybe not as many, you know, complex routes that he might have to run in the NFL. I think Coleman will still make a good number two guy somewhere. Like, I think, you know, he could slide in somewhere with like the Bengals or something like that, who need a number two guy, AJ Green. But I think Billings is going to be a guy that you can plug right away and be a nose tackle in the NFL.
The one thing I will say about Coleman is that he can take the short pass and do some things. He wasn't exactly KD Cannon, where he was just a deep threat. I mean, KD's going to have to expand his game, I think, if he wants to be an NFL prospect someday. Because right now, you're talking about a guy who really does run a lot of just vert routes. But Coleman, you know, we saw that last year where he took some short passes and made big plays out of them. So I think he has that ability. He also certainly has a nose for the end zone. I mean, we saw that last year.
Oh, no kidding, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about Billings. A lot of the mock drafts I've seen have him either going to the Steelers at number 25 or the Packers at number 27. Of course, Coach Tomlin was at Andrew Billings' pro day. I mean, at Baylor's pro day. Those are two very tradition-rich NFL teams. which one would be the better fit, do you think?
Well, the Packers need a nose tackle since B.J. Raji retired.
Right.
So I think he would have a chance to step right in and start there. Now, I do think the Steelers, I don't think they have a really good nose tackle, especially since, Casey Hampton was there. But I'm going to say the Packers just because Raji retired.
How about you, Mitch?
Exact same thing. I think the Packers are a perfect fit for him. If the Steelers do pass on him, the Packers need to jump on that because, because of B.J. Raji retiring, they have an opening there, and he would be a perfect spot like that right there in that spot. And he wouldn't even have to change his colors either. He could stay. He could still stay green and gold. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd like that.
You know, we have a couple of editors here in the Trib newsroom who are fans of these two teams. Tim Woods, our city editor, is a big Packers fan. Mm-hmm. Steve Boggs, our editor, is a Steelers fan. I think we should just have those two guys like Indian leg wrestle to find out who gets to have Andrew Billings. Wouldn't you watch that?
Oh, man, yeah. Front row seat.
Yeah, absolutely. So Baylor has several other prospects, including Spencer Drango, Xavien Howard, Jay Lee, and even deep snapper Jimmy Landis is, you know, among the prospects for the draft. Out of those four guys, who gets drafted? And give me like a random guess on the round.
Well, I think three of those four are going to get drafted. I think Howard will go about in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Drango sixth, and I'm going to say Jay Lee seventh. Now, I think not a lot of deep snappers get drafted.
Right.
So I'm going to say Jimmy's a free agent, although he will be the funniest guy on that squad, whoever he joins, because he's hilarious.
Hashtag Jimmy Landis for Heisman, yes.
Yeah, and I did see him snap a first pitch at a Baylor baseball game between his legs for a strike.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I would think other than maybe the punter, I don't know. To me, a deep snapper would be a pretty good living. I mean, you're not on the field that much, you know. I mean,
yeah.
And Baylor has one with the Texans that was a Pro Bowl guy, Jonathan Weeks.
Yeah, they've had some good deep snappers.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jimmy would be a good addition to a team.
I mean, I personally think Jimmy Landis is a late first rounder.
Okay.
Making history among long snappers.
You're not going to get a job as an NFL GM anytime soon.
No, not even tried. No, I think he'll be a free agent signing with all the other deep snappers. I think I'll start with saying that I think Drango is probably a third or fourth rounder. Jay Lee is going to be a late round pick. I think for sure. I think I know exactly where I think Xavien Howard is going to end up. I think he's going to be an early second round pick to the Titans. Titans need a corner. But they traded down, so they've lost their shot at getting Jalen Ramsey. So I think that when their next pick comes around, I think they're going to jump on Xavien Howard right there.
Okay. Wow. Interesting.
Going out on a limb there, Mitch.
I say Drango, I'm going to say fourth. I'm going to say Howard third. I don't know about Jay Lee. Jay Lee is an interesting cat. He was a guy I always wanted a little bit more out of. Mm-hmm. He's got all the physical tools, but, you know, I mean, I think you could find receivers probably just as good as him. And I agree that Jimmy Landis probably gets invited to somebody's camp as a free agent. How about Sean Oakman? A guy who probably, if he came out last year, may have been a first-round pick. I mean, certainly he was coming off a much better year. Of course, now that we have him up with the sexual assault charges, there's really no chance he gets drafted at this point, is there?
No, I really don't think so, especially the climate of the NFL right now. I mean, they've really been cracking down on players who had sexual assault charges. So I don't think there's any way he gets drafted. I think he was dropping anyway. He didn't have a real good senior year. I think he would have been a sixth, seventh round anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any way.
Yeah, I don't think he gets drafted. I think if he does, he's going to be at the very, very end of someone just going to try to maybe see if he can turn things around. You know, maybe someone like the Cowboys that like to take those kind of guys and see if they can turn things around. But no, I don't think so. I think that his stock was dropping. He didn't have a great season last year. You know, you just combine that with the baggage he brings in. I think he's just had too many people. He pushed too many people away with the stuff that happened.
Yeah, I think that had the sexual assault charges not arisen, I think somebody would have taken a chance on him.
Oh, yeah.
I think he'd have gotten drafted. But you're right that his stock has certainly gone down. You know, Sports Illustrated did a story on him during the season last year, looking at him as a prospective first-round pick. And sort of in their analysis came up with the idea that, no, he really isn't. But, so, I mean, he was dropping even last year, but the cloud that hangs over him now, you talked to a scout, John, that said undraftable, right?
Well, I talked to some draft experts.
Okay.
But yeah, basically.
Well, let's look at the Big 12. As far as the conference goes, the league has three pretty legit first-round prospects with Coleman, Billings, and TCU's Josh Dotson. Beyond that, there are really no guarantees here. In 2011, the Big 12 had eight players taken in the first round. Now, it may seem silly to put it like this, but what has happened?
Well, one thing, Texas isn't getting first-round picks. And I guess Oklahoma's not going to get one this year either. But, you know, 2 years ago, the Longhorns didn't have anybody picked, which is pretty bizarre.
Yeah, and that was a big deal on Twitter and everything else. You know, there was a lot made of that, you know, that no Longhorns got picked. Had to have been the first time maybe ever.
Yeah, okay, so when you don't have Texas or Oklahoma having a first-round pick, you've got two less teams in the Big 12 than you used to.
Right.
And you're probably having more top prospects go to the SEC now.
Yeah.
So I think all those things combined.
Really, you look at the players that are projected to go high, I think there's one team not in the Big 12, not in the SEC, that is got so many going out this year, and that's Ohio State. They have like five guys this year that could be first-rounders. You know, one, you know, Joey Bosa for sure is one. Ezekiel Elliott is for sure. Eli Apple is definitely going to be in there. And then, you know, Von Bell moves up, and you've got four at there. So there's one thing. Ohio State has more in this year than really anybody. I think it may just be, you know, coincidental that this year the Big 12 just didn't have any many standout draftable guys this year. That's not knocking the conference at all or anything. I think part of it is that the Big 12 continues to shift forward as just this completely offensive-minded mm-hmm. conference, and there are something like seven guys that are defensive linemen that are first-round prospects, and like five of them, and then five cornerbacks. And so I think a lot of NFL teams may be targeting more defensive guys this year, and because of the nature of the Big 12 and the way those offenses are playing, there's just not as many big-time defensive prospects coming out of the conference. But I think it's more of not necessarily a down year. It's just that the draftable talent is coming out of other conferences or Ohio State.
As it turns out, this will probably be a better year than the last couple. So like I mentioned, 2011, there were eight guys taken in the first round for the Big 12. The next year, it dropped to five. And then we had three. And then each of the last 2 years, it's been just two. Mm-hmm. So that's really down. But this year, I think those three guys I mentioned earlier, Billings, Coleman, and Dotson, all go in the first round. And then I think that there are actually a couple of defensive players that may be borderline first-round picks. Carl Joseph, the safety out of West Virginia, hard-hitting guy, one of the top safeties in the draft, had a great career at West Virginia. Just, you know, he was a multi-year star for them on defense. And then Emmanuel Ogba, you know, and pass rushers are at a premium in the NFL, and he proved he could do that in the with Oklahoma State, and is a guy that, you know, I think his measurables stacked up with most of the guys. So I think he's honestly probably a sleeper guy, probably a second round pick, but we'll see how that goes. So, you know, it looks like, you know, if let's say Joseph or Ogba maybe gets picked up at the end of the first round, this will be the Big 12's best draft first round wise since 2012. So I do agree with you, Mitch, that I think that the Big 12's propensity towards spread offenses maybe hurts it from an NFL perspective, where these coaches, in fact, there was a story, I think, just in Sports Illustrated just recently talking about that, about, you know, the spread offense and how, you know, that maybe hinders guys that are trying to make it to the NFL.
What is interesting about that, because I was thinking about it too, how the spread definitely eliminates a lot of players, talented football players, from being drafted. You take a look at so many Texas Tech quarterbacks that set records when Mike Leach was there that didn't even get a shot at the NFL. But then I sit here and I think Jared Goff is going to go first overall, and he's coming out of Sonny Dykes' offense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting to me how they evaluate how even a spread quarterback can he get installed into a pro style offense and succeed at it, or can he not? And I think it's interesting how scouts evaluate that, because clearly they see that Jared Goff could do that even though he's, you know, running a spread. But then you take a look at some of these other quarterbacks that get, you know, passed up.
Yeah, well, and I do think if you're 6'5" and you're thick and you have a strong arm, it doesn't really matter if you run the spread or the pro style or whatever. I mean, I think ultimately these measurables that they're looking at, size, speed, you know, ability to think fast and, you know, arm strength for a quarterback, all those things will ultimately be what they, you know, what they draft on, not necessarily what offense you came out of. I mean, that certainly, you know, can help or hinder you. Finally, let's look at one interesting guy, maybe the most intriguing prospect on the board from a Baylor perspective, at least. Rico Gathers has not played a down of football since he was 13 years old, and yet he had a pro day a couple days ago, and 25 different NFL teams were represented at his pro day. Look into your crystal ball. Is Rico the next Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, Jimmy Graham tight end?
Well, he'd need a really great career to be any of those guys.
All of them basketball players.
Yes, I know.
All three of those guys are basketball
but
players.
But I think he'll be picked, and I think he's going to have a decent career. I think you look at Rico and you think tight end.
Yeah.
I mean, 6'6", 270. He can run. I think he's probably got pretty good hands. And, you know, I think he's going to do what it takes to learn that position. And I think he's going to have a good career.
I think just he and Sean Oakman should trade sports. You know, just let, you know, Sean Oakman's, what, 6'9"? I mean,
yeah.
he'd be a perfect, you know,
big
perfect
man, yeah.
Forward in the NBA. But why not? I mean, you know, if he... You know, comes, you know, pro day, had a pro day. If the scouts like him, if they like what they see, why not give him a shot? I mean, there is a point that he wasn't quite an NBA built player or a college or a basketball built player. Sure, he was tall, but he was so big and so athletic. You know, maybe kind of comparable to like LeBron James or somebody like that. But they tend to have, he had such a bigger frame than a typical basketball player. I feel like he's built more as a big tight end. So why not? I feel like, you know, somebody's going to take a chance on him as from what they can do with him. And you know, I think he'll have a shot somewhere. I don't know if he'll have a big, long career or anything like that, but I think that he'll get, you know, a chance at least with like a practice team or something like that. So,
you know, I do think he has maybe a steeper hill to climb than a couple of these guys I mentioned, Jimmy Graham and I think Tony Gonzalez. I want to say both of them did play some college football. Antonio Gates may have been just a basketball player.
I believe that's right. Yeah.
But I do feel like he gets a shot with someone. How well he does, we'll see. I do agree with you guys that watching him play basketball, I don't know if I always thought NFL tight end, but I always thought football player.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember watching him in a game against A&M that they played either a season or two ago at the Farrell Center. And the guy from A&M driving down the lane and just running into Rico and right. bouncing backwards. And it was just like, man, that guy is strong, you know. And, of course, Art Briles tried to get him out there, you know, pretty much every season he was at Baylor. If he does turn out to be a Jimmy Graham or Tony Gonzalez or Antonio Gates, you know, Art Briles is going to be kicking himself going, man, I should have worked harder to get that guy. Cause,
oh, he worked pretty hard.
Well, he did, but, you know.
For years.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how Rico does, you know. Uncle Rico finally going to get his shot at the NFL.